Green Hills, Oklahoma was no longer so small that every single person knew all the others, but it was still small enough for Marie to notice the new addition to Fire Engine 33. She bought fruit at the Get-and-Go grocery store every Monday morning, and almost every week, a fire truck from Station Number 2 was parked in front of the building while she was there. She knew the firefighters cooked the majority of their meals at the firehouse, and she had learned from a cashier that each shift created their own menus and shopped for ingredients at the beginning of their 24 hours on. They were always polite, high-fiving kids and saying hello to customers throughout the store. Other than noticing that and being impressed with their friendliness, when no doubt they were in a rush to get in and out, Marie had never paid them much attention. She was on her own grocery-gathering mission and tended to go about her shopping with a singular focus. Her Monday morning ritual stemmed from cherished childhood memories of her mom providing fresh fruit for a youth shelter every week. Marie could close her eyes and be transported back to those days. How special she'd felt as a preschooler accompanying her mother on what Mama always called their most important business, with her trademark wink and a stunning smile that radiated warmth in Marie's heart. Marie was young enough to go every week, but the very best shopping adventures occurred when her older siblings, Max and Mackenzie, went with them during school breaks and summer vacations. Each Monday morning, Mama would wake up all three kids, feed them some breakfast, and scuttle them into the car to take them on her weekly errand. If the kids groaned with exaggeration about not being allowed to sleep late during vacation, she'd tease that they were blessed to spend time with their adoring mother. If they faux complained about going to the grocery store, she'd point out the beautiful bounty to behold all around. And if they dramatically dragged their feet going into the shelter, she'd quietly remind them that any old building becomes a home when we put a little love into it. Marie thought Max and Mackenzie were clever and funny. She would quietly giggle, watching them give Mama a hard time, fussing and moaning as if she was torturing them. Of course, they were just pretending. Every one of them knew how much they loved going on this mission. All three of them, and in fact, everyone Marie ever saw in Mama's presence, seemed to bloom under the glow of her attention like a flower opening its face to absorb the sun and blossoming to its fullest potential. Mama made those fruit deliveries year-round and without fail. If they were going to be out of town for some reason, maybe away on a family trip, she always arranged for someone to do the shopping and drop off the fruit in her place. There was something steady and stable about knowing exactly what Mama would be doing following school drop-off on the first day of every week. She was consistent and true, dependable, and always there for those in need. But then came the greatest tragedy of Marie's life. And like it was just yesterday, she remembered waking up in a cold sweat the first Monday after her parents died. She couldn't stop crying because she knew that just as she was lost and staggering without her, those kids at the shelter would be missing Mama. She begged everyone to drive her to the store. The friends and neighbors and social workers stepping in to help take care of the three orphans wanted only to placate her. No one listened past her tears. She cried to Max and Mackenzie that they needed to take care of the fruit, that it was most important business, just as Mama had always said. But both of her siblings were lost in their own sadness and grief. Everyone said the exact same thing, even though they knew it was nothing more than a lie meant to reassure. Everything will be okay. It was not okay with Marie, not then and not in the years to follow. As soon as she was on her own in college, she found a shelter that could benefit from a box of fresh fruit every week and reinstated the tradition. She did it in honor of Mama and their Monday mornings together. When she moved to Green Hills right after her college graduation 2 years ago, she was not able to find a shelter or a church that would accept her donations. The people she spoke with appreciated the offer and loved the idea, but Green Hills was a small town with philanthropic citizens who'd like to take care of one another without much fuss. Everywhere she went, she heard that there simply wasn't enough need, that too much would go unused and be thrown out. She had mentioned her goal and her struggles attaining it to her landlord at Marshall Mansion, the bed and breakfast where she had lived until she found a place of her own. Without a moment's hesitation, Miss Sadie said she'd be blessed to receive that fruit each week, to share with her boarders and passers-through. Miss Sadie could afford her own fruit, but Marie needed to be needed. Miss Sadie and Marie could both see that as plain as day. With Max and Mackenzie both pursuing careers across the country, feeling engaged in her new community was vital to fighting off the loneliness that crept up on Marie from time to time. Marie believed that God created human beings to connect with and count on one another.